Welcome, welcome, welcome. I am so excited to have you here. This is my very first virtual workshop on the 5 steps to setting meaningful goals. Thank you for being here. Over the next 30 minutes, we're going to be together, and I'm going to start with giving you a little bit of background about my company and myself. And then I'm going to move into the 5 steps, and I will end with some information and an invitation to another virtual event that I have coming up later this month. So, first, my company, Mariposa Strategies, is a strategic planning and coaching firm. I specifically support badass women and people of color with living their best lives. I do this through a couple of different services, including individual one-on-one coaching and organizational, as well as individual strategy intensives. The intensives are focused on deep dive, focused strategic planning. Specifically, to take a particular idea or vision to the next level. Individual coaching is a more extended engagement where we're working on productivity or clarity, for example. I started this company with a really particular vision in mind, and it comes from a really personal place in my heart, but it's very specifically about creating a world in which we, as women, as people of color, are living fully with joy and purpose and passion, and ultimately providing a model to the kiddos in our lives for all that's possible. I am Annie Sanchez. I am the CEO and what I like to call the chief goal strategist. I am a productivity obsessed goal strategist and clarity coach on a mission to decrease overwhelm in the lives of women and people of color. I am so happy to have you here. I'm going to be moving into the content now, but first, I want to share a quote from one of my favorite authors, poets, and social activists. Cleo Wade. The best thing about your life is that it is constantly in a state of design, she says. This means you have at all times the power to redesign it, make moves, allow shifts, smile more, do less, say no, say yes. Just remember, when it comes to your life, you are not only the artist, but the masterpiece as well. So, for the first step in the 5 steps to setting meaningful goals, it's what I like to call mind wandering. Excuse me. So, the way I define mind wandering is really solid quality, quiet time. For me, that is alone time. During that quality, quiet, alone time, it's really important that you allow yourself to think the thoughts, big and crazy, small and intimate, really letting your mind just bounce all over the place and have the thoughts. It's also really important that you write them down. So when you carve out this hour, 2 hour, 4 hour, 7 hour block of mind wandering time. You have a pen and paper handy. I like to have different colored pens, maybe some highlighters. And as the thoughts start to come, I jot them down, all of them. I'm not worried about wordsmithing. I'm not worried about making them perfect or, social media, sort of soundbite quality nuggets. I think it's just about getting the thoughts out of your head and onto paper. I find that the longer that I allow myself to be in this mind wandering state, the easier the thoughts come. So I really do carve out sometimes 7 to 9 hours in a day to do this. I don't do it regularly. This is usually quarterly, but I usually remove myself from my house. I have a special place that I like to go, and I sit there, and the big chunk of goal setting for me is about this mind wandering space. It might sound simple, but I think it's really very important and should be revered for its importance. This space where we let our minds do what they need to do, show us what we need to see and know, it needs to be carved out and honored and actually utilized. So, you know, be prepared with the tools that you need, whether it's your journal that you love, you know, just a random notebook, or if you like to do them digitally, that's fine. I do find, though, that for this particular practice, putting pen to paper is typically more productive. There's something about the way our brain, you know, sort of connects, and our hand is able to scribe what our thoughts are telling it to. You know, when you're thinking about all of the things that you want to do, that you want to get, that you want to accomplish, that you want to have, again, don't filter yourself, don't edit, just let them come out. You know, for example, maybe financial freedom is something that you're really wanting to work toward. I would encourage you to ask yourself, what does this look like to me? What does financial freedom look like to me? Maybe it's health and fitness. What does that look like to you? Maybe it's mental wellness. What does that look like to you? It's one thing to say, I want to be healthy and fit, but if you don't know what that actually looks like to you, you're chasing an invisible line. So write down all of the things that you think of when you picture yourself financially free or healthy and fit or emotionally well or wildly successful. You know, what do those things look like to you? Which leads me to the second step, themes and buckets. So, you know, after you've spent the time letting your mind wander, getting all your thoughts down, what goes together? You know, looking at your handwriting, looking at your notes, it's important to start looking for themes. It's important to find the connection between the things that you want, because they most certainly are connected. So, you know, if you're thinking about financial freedom, continuing to use that example, and you wrote, I want, you know, more money in my savings account, I want a bigger salary at work, or I want to increase revenue in my business, or I want to be debt free. All of those things, in my mind, they sort of fall into a finance bucket, for example, even though one might feel more career related, you know, or business related, whereas like the personal finances might feel separate. Where are the themes? Where are the connections? What goes together? Finding those connections is really important to also decreasing overwhelm around all the things that you want in your life. It's really easy to get excited about everything that you want to do and accomplish and have and achieve. And it can start to feel a little suffocating when you have, you know, 100 things on that list. So find a way to put them in groups. You will begin to see how that seemingly endless list of things that you want in your life are in fact related. So I think this is where, you know, using pen and paper is really helpful, because you can start to color code based on theme, you know, or bucket or category. Which then leads me to the third step, what I call narrowing. So Narrowing, I think, is a really important, this is sort of goes back to the, what I was mentioning about decreasing overwhelm. I think it's really important to hone in on what really matters to you on your list. While all of them matter to you to some degree, some are certainly going to matter more. So it's, this is a time when you get to prioritize based on your sense of urgency. Something that I like to do is to look at my list and think about things based on what must happen in my mind versus what I really want to happen versus what I think of as it would be nice if it happened, right? So priority for me is must happen, I want it to happen, and it would be nice if it happened. So going over your buckets, it's like some of the things absolutely must happen. You know, maybe you have, let's say, for example, 15 things that really truly must happen. You're considering them goals, but they're sort of non-negotiable. Okay, so of those non-negotiable goals that must happen, what needs to happen in the next month? What needs to happen in the next 3 months? What needs to happen before the end of the year? What needs to happen before your next birthday? You know, think it's you've got to find a way to categorize and prioritize based on urgency. So for the things that you want to happen versus would be nice, I think these are there. It's really important to differentiate, because again, going back to the overwhelm of all the exciting things that we want to do in our lives, and that alone can eat us alive. So things that I want to happen, these are, they're not necessarily non-negotiable. You know, it wouldn't necessarily impact my life in a negative way if it didn't happen, but it would significantly impact my life in a positive way if it did, right? Whereas the must happens, the uber urgent, non-negotiable must happens, those, like, just as I'm describing, there's no question. It has to happen. You know, maybe, like, for example, maybe it is losing weight. Maybe there's something around your actual health that's at risk, like your cholesterol is higher, your blood pressure, or something like that. Like, that must happen. Your life is actually in danger. Your health and well-being is in danger. Whereas you want it to happen, maybe you want to, you know, you really want to buy a new car, for example. That might not be that a great of one, but let's say that's not a non-negotiable, but you really want it to happen. You've had the same old beater car for the last, you know, 10 years, 15 years. You are working your butt off at work. You're grinding every day, and you really, it's not necessarily about deserving. I have an interesting relationship with the word deserve. I don't want to say deserve, but rather, you know, you've worked really hard. You, every day you're working hard and you really want a new car. That's something you really want to happen. It's not non-negotiable necessarily. Your old beater's been serving you well. It's still getting you from where you need to, you know, where you are to where you need to be. But it would be really nice if you could get a new car. So I would, you know, that's something that would be in the middle category. Whereas would be nice if it happened might be, you know, this is so, it's so dependent on the person. But I think of, you know, when I first started this, you know, these five steps a couple of years ago, trying to think of some things that were on my list back then. I think, you know, the would be nices are like, I don't know. I'm not going to impose, because it's so, again, it's really dependent on the person, but these are basically the things that are not pressing and eating you alive. And I think it's an important category to have, because those are the things that don't need to suck up all of your energy and attention right now. So while the musts and the wants feel like, yeah, well, I get what those mean. Well, the would-be nices are just as important because you can put things there as sort of back burner goals, perhaps. And interestingly enough, some of those goals that are in the would-be nice might actually rise up faster than you realize. But I think it's important to have them in their own categories so that you're not, you know, chasing something that's not as important or not as urgent as something else in your life at this time. Which leads me to my fourth step, benchmarks. So these are the indicators of your progress. How are you going to know that you are in fact making headway with, you know, losing weight or getting out of debt or, you know, closer to financial freedom? It's really easy in the day-to-day to get caught up in the really trivial small things that are not happening. So it's really important to have some indicator that progress is happening. So, you know, a month from now or 2 months from now or 3 months from now, you're able to look back and see, oh yeah, I really was making much quicker progress than I realized. You know, 2 weeks in, I had already lost 4 pounds and I had already, you know, started to pay that credit card down. Because the practice of, let's use getting out of debt as an example, is something that you know, chipping away at debt can take years. And so when you decide on, you know, what is today, June 7th, if you decide over the weekend that getting out of debt by, you know, this time next year, let's say, is a priority goal. It's a must happen. That is happening. Okay. So by June 7th, 2020, you want to be debt free. What do you have to do to get there? Okay. Well, you've got to pay off that credit card. You need to pay off your car loan. Maybe you need to pay off your student loans. There's all these different creditors that need to be satisfied. And when you get down the line, you know, 2 months from now, 3 months from now, it might feel like you're barely making progress. But if you have some indicator for what progress looks like to you in place, when you meet it, you're going to feel, you will truly feel the gratification of meeting that benchmark. So if getting out of debt is your goal, a benchmark might be paying off a very particular credit card or increasing your emergency savings, for example. Because as you're paying off debt, as I know very, very intimately, it can be really challenging to increase savings when you want so badly to just put that extra money towards the debt, right? But it, you know, financial behaviorists say that the best approach is to really do both at the same time, to be increasing your savings while paying off debt. So if getting out of debt is a goal, it's really important to have benchmarks that show what that you're making that progress. Because if you're only paying off the credit cards and student loans and whatnot and your savings is not increasing, that might feel deflating. You know, 6 months from now, you might think, well, okay, it feels good that I'm finally, you know, I'm seeing a dent in these numbers, but gosh, I sure wish that I had money in the bank too, in case of an emergency. So I'm not trying to impose that on you, that you open a savings account, a special additional savings account while you're paying off debt. I'm just trying to use this as an example. Let's say losing weight is one of your goals and you've decided that it is a must happen or a want to happen type of goal. So a benchmark might be fitting into a certain pair of pants or being able to run a certain distance or get through a particular, you know, fitness class, something like that, that you are unable to do now, but you really want to do at some point. So a month from now, when you're able to fit into those jeans or to actually make it through your HIIT class, you know, without stopping, those are just gigantic benchmarks that should be celebrated. So it's, again, it's really important to have to name the indicators for the progress as it looks for you. There's no, you know, there are no rules to this process. It's really about finding the things that work for you. So within each of these, you know, steps, these categories, starting with the mind wandering and then finding the themes and then narrowing in, prioritizing by urgency, then, you know, naming what progress looks like, you know, what progress looks like for you is going to be very different from what progress looks like for me. So, you know, use benchmarks that mean something to you. Which leads me to the fifth step, actions and decisions. This here is far the, I would say, where the rubber hits the road. So, you know, once you know what you're working toward, you absolutely must have a realistic plan for getting it. You know, what do you need to do in order to become financially free, in order to lose weight, in order to get out of debt? What do you actually have to do? What decisions do you need to make? So if getting fit or losing weight is one of your goals, you know, maybe you need to sign up for a gym. But before you can just sign up for a gym, you need to decide which gym you're going to go to, which requires doing research first. So your actions would be researching the gym and signing up for the gym, but the decision is picking the gym, right? If you're trying to get out of debt, maybe you need to close a credit card account and open up a special savings account. Your actions would be closing the credit card and researching savings accounts. The decisions would be picking the savings account and then physically going to the bank to open up that account, right? These are the steps to making your goals actually happen. You know, people often say, you know, with setting goals that you really, it comes down to, you know, breaking them down into bite-sized chunks. People like to say that a lot. You might have heard that. These are the chunks. These are the bite-sized chunks, the actions and decisions. The actual stuff that you physically have to do in order to make them happen. You know, they naturally, as you're going through this process of achieving a particular goal. So let's say, you know, a month from now, you've already named your goals, you know what your benchmarks are, you know what your actions and decisions are. Naturally, new actions and decisions are going to arise. They just are, that you couldn't possibly know or have anticipated today. It's just the way things work. So a few days from now, a few weeks from now, new actions and new decisions are going to present themselves to you. And the cool thing is that because you'll have been going through this process from the front end early on, you're going to be able to recognize those new actions and decisions for what they are and as things that you need to do in order to advance the goals that you're trying to achieve. Which is really what it's all about. So, you know, I want to do a recap of the five steps. So, step one is mind wandering. In this step, this is where you're going to carve out quality, quiet, alone time to really allow yourself to think all of the thoughts that you've got swirling around in your mind, all of the big and small, some that are maybe scary and audacious that you would never want to say out loud to someone else for fear of judgment. Write all of those down, but carve out the really special quality alone time that you need in order to get into that space. They're not going to, you know, when you're, well, let me say this. When you're driving in your car, or you're on the train on the way to work, or in the shower, it often feels like it's at the least opportune moments. Ideas will come to you. I know they do for me. And when I don't remember to write those down, they disappear often. You think you're going to remember them and you don't. And so I would encourage you, between now and whenever you're able to actually carve out that mind wandering time, maybe start keeping a small notebook, or maybe you keep it in like the notes app of your phone, or maybe you email it to yourself. It would be ideal to have one place where you keep these things, which is why I suggest like a notes app. Because if you email yourself, you're gonna have lots of different emails that get lost, and trying to find them is going to be a struggle. So find a place where you can contain the random thoughts and ideas that come to you when you're waking up in the morning, when you're jumping out of the shower or getting out of your car, where you can put them all in one place. And then when you are able to carve out that special mind wandering time, maybe next weekend or early next month, or you know, maybe later today for that matter, you're able to look at the ideas that have been coming to you over the last few days and weeks, and start to think through, what are the other things that you want? Like, what does that idea that you had yesterday lead you to think about in relation to another goal that you've been thinking about? So carving out that really sweet quality mind wandering time. Step two is identifying the themes amongst that page of notes and scribbles and diagrams and drawings, however it is that you brainstorm. You need a way to categorize all of those thoughts. Step three is narrowing. Once you have your buckets or your themes, you are going to prioritize based on urgency. What must happen? What do you want to happen? What would be nice if it happened? After you've narrowed your goals, you are going to work on the benchmarks. These are the indicators of progress. How are you going to know that you're actually making progress on the goals that you want if you don't know what progress actually looks like? You cannot have this, I mean, I suppose you can, but I don't advise it. If you have a goal of just whatever the goal is, but you don't know what the progress indicators are, it's going to be a really long, challenging road to get there. And often why people lose steam and then walk away from their goals, you know, a couple weeks in, because it feels so overwhelming. But if you know what an indicator is, one of the benchmarks along the way is, it feels closer. It's like, oh, I can get to that point. That's, while one goal might take 3 months or 6 months or 3 years to achieve, the benchmarks are going to be coming more quickly. You might have one in a couple of weeks. You might have one in a couple of months. And it's like, oh, okay. You start to feel the wins much, much sooner than you would if you were just waiting to accomplish the goal entirely by itself. Something actually leads me to, it's reminding me, I want to share with you something that I talk about with my clients a lot, and it has to do with this benchmarks piece, but called habit gravity. So if you think about, you know, New Year's resolutions, once, you know, you decide you're going to do something and you get really excited and out the gate, you're working on it 3, 4, 5 days in, it's like, yeah, you're feeling really good. You might even get to the point of a week and you're still doing it. Maybe even 2 weeks. It is very dependent on each person. But at some point early on, habit gravity starts to kick in and pull you back to the old habit, to the habit that you're trying to break in order to achieve the new goal. But if you know that that is going to happen, you know that at day 5 or day 10 or whatever it is for you, typically, I want to say typically, it takes about 21 to 28 days to establish a new habit, to create a new system, sort of rewire your brain. And so if at it's usually at around day five, day six, where you start to feel the habit gravity. And so around day, you know, somewhere between day five and day eight, let's say, you start to feel the pull. You can tell yourself, ah, this is that gravity that's pulling me. All I need to do is get over the hump. And usually 2 to 3 days later, you'll start to feel the momentum again. So if you can remember that habit gravity is doing its job, you will then know how to do your job to work past it. And you will definitely feel so much more satisfaction with yourself and feel really excited for being able to identify it and not lose steam. Step five is actions and decisions. So once you've mind wandered, you've categorized put things into themes and buckets, you've narrowed in based on priority, you've indicated what progress looks like by naming the benchmarks, you are then going to name all the actions and decisions based on each goal that need to be made in order to accomplish them. Thank you so much for spending this time with me. I want to take just a quick moment to let you know about my next virtual workshop. If you found this one valuable, my next one will be live. Again, it'll be virtual online, but it will be live. I will be going live on Sunday, June 16th at 11 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. So that's an hour later than Pacific, it's an hour earlier than Central, and it's 2 hours earlier than Eastern. And in that live workshop, there will be an opportunity for you to interact with me live and ask questions. This will be an hour workshop, $40 now in advance, and it will be available after as a replay for $65. You can sign up for it at my website, which is located at the bottom of the slide, mariposastrategies.com/marketplace. And once you sign up, you will receive an email confirmation with one additional step to take, which I appreciate you doing. I'm still figuring out all this technology stuff. I am only human, so please bear with me. I'm doing my best to make these experiences as seamless for you as possible. So again, my next workshop will be live and virtual on Sunday, June 16th. It's all about how to follow through with the goals that you set. So if you use these five steps to set your goals and you feel like you got it, I am so excited for you. Good luck. Do share with me either in the email or it's on social media. Let me know how you're doing. And for everyone figuring out how to actually implement these into your day-to-day life, I think that the workshop that I'm doing on June 16th just might be what you need. I look forward to supporting you. Thank you so much. Let me know if you have questions. You can always send me a message through my website, mariposastrategies.com. Thank you for being here.